Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The greatest commandment, section 11, the path to living invigorated. Like that word, invigorated. I do. I like it. The path to living invigorated. Here's what I want to talk to us about this morning. We were meant to live very alive in Jesus. Invigorated. We were meant to live as a rule. It doesn't mean you won't have moments where you're not. It doesn't mean that you won't have seasons where it's harder. But as a rule, you get to live invigorated, not live spiritually bored. You were created to live that way. It was actually the divine intent. And you were created that way. You have access to that, but there's a path. The morning is we're going to look at the path to living invigorated. It's so important. I love Luke's dream. I mean, he didn't know that I was teaching on this morning. I'm like, Steve, you have to share the dream. Just share the dream. And then he sang like all the verses this morning in his morning, in his 5 a.m. set, like all the verses we're going to look at them once today. It's great. I was just laughing, pacing back and forth, laughing with the Lord. You were made to love. You were created by God, creates God. This, you were purposed. I want you to understand that. It's not an option. It's like a paper robot was made. It's the thing is supposed to do. Espresso machines are supposed to make espresso. You were made to love God. That was the reason. You were purposed that. You were outfitted for that. And when we do, when we love God, when we invest, when we operate according to our divine purpose, our heart is so alive. We live invigorated, and it's fun. Life is fun. When you're alive, really alive inside, you come indestructible. And life is just, it's just rose-tinted glasses everywhere, you know? Everything just smells better because your heart's alive. The opposite is so true. If you're an espresso machine trying to make hot dogs, you are just, my goodness, you weren't even them hot dogs. They could get a shot already. When we don't live according to that divine purpose, we live frustrated. Life is gray. Life is dull. Even good things are dull. I just pulled this verse out of Proverbs because I thought it captured it. So Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart may ache. Like, when you're not alive on the inside, a funny moment. Even the joyful moment, the sweet family moment, the incredible friendship moment, the really, financial blessing, the promotion, even in those things, even in those moments, your heart may still ache because you weren't created for the external. You were created that your heart would be alive. Your heart's alive, everything's better. You can enjoy the dumbest little things when your heart's alive. I mean, it's like it's a 10 and not a 1. And everybody would look at it and go, that's a 1. Yeah, but I'm feeling like it's a 10. Why? Because my heart is alive. I'm living invigorated. Invigorated, life is what life is supposed to be. Life is enjoyable as a gift. And so I just want to tell you, I want to give you encouragement and confidence. You were created to live invigorated. And again, don't judge or stand to those moments where you're not feeling that way. Those seasons where you're really under a significant amount of pressure and weight. What I do mean, though, is the majority of your life absolutely can be an invigorated heart. Now, your circumstances might be horrible. You might live in jail your whole life, but that doesn't mean you don't have to have a heart. Paul sure did, in jail. And so I want to cast a vision for your life. Related to the greatest commandment, you can live alive on the inside. And that's the good stuff. The divine intent. Let me just read part of the greatest commandment again. Matthew 22, 37. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. This is the divine intent for your life. Love the Lord your God. This is your purpose on earth. Love the Lord your God. This is why you're here. This is what you were made for. Love the Lord your God. That's what's supposed to be our focus. All of our life is supposed to be revolving around. No wonder we're so off course when we put something else at center. I mean, we're revolving around something else. You're supposed to be revolving around love of God. That's what's at the center of it all. So when we put family at the center, or job, or money, or pleasure, or anything at the center, you're revolving something weird. You're like way out there in outer space revolving around, you know, some foreign Mars planet instead of around the sun. You're supposed to be revolving around the sun. So when you're supposed to be revolving around the sun? And when you're not, you feel so funky. Even when there's laughter, the heart may ache. You're out of orbit. You're out of purpose. God created us to be able to love the Lord our God, and when we're dead, all is well. And when we're not, thank you, Jesus, all is not well. Thank you, Jesus, that we feel off. That's better for us. At least if there's some level of revelation somewhere in there, things are not okay right now. I'm just feeling like I am out of balance, I'm out of whack. Somewhere in here, there's something off. You created to have had Jesus. You created for your heart to be passionately engaged about a man, about Jesus, the Son of God. You're created for this. I'll give you a couple of verses. Psalm 84 and then Isaiah 26. We're created to have this passion. This is how we were wired. Look at this, Psalm 84 too. My soul yearns. It even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. One time for one guy who wrote a song one time way back when. This is actually the order of things for humanity. Our souls are yearning. They are longing for the living God. And the more we're in tune with that yearning, with that inner longing, the better off we are. The more that we have the revelation, I was created to long. I was created to have my soul yearn for God. And the more that we have that revelation, that's what we were created for, then the more we will do the right response, we will cry out for him. You see it? Cry out for, because the soul is yearning. The soul is longing. And so we cry out for the living God. You're alive. You're real. You're active. You're real. My heart, my soul, things deep within me. I was created to live invigorated, and right now I feel bored in my soul. Bored in my spirit. There's a yearning, an aching. We were created to have passion for Jesus. Isaiah 26 says similarly, my soul yearns for you in the night. Yearning, my spirit longs for you. I'll tell you something. I just want to give you a little bit of encouragement. If you have absolutely no idea what this feels like, you have identified a significant issue in your life. And you want to, like, go after it. We go, okay, God, help me. You ever have a moment where you realize there's something wrong with you? You try to fix the thing that's wrong with you. You know? My poor son. This is the worst thing ever. This kid, he gets out of the car on the right side in the back, and he goes, and he just wanders off. Shut the door! Shut the door! And he doesn't respond. I'm like, ah. So I reach back there. I pull the door closed. I close his fingers in the door. Now, he's on the back side of the car. I can't get the door open. I have to run around the car, see him stuck in it, open the door. The poor dude was stuck with his fingers in the door. If you ever find your fingers stuck in the door, you gotta open the door, friends. That's the way to fix a problem. You find a problem, you fix it. And I had to fix it, I know. That's me to walk around with his fingers. They were fine. I didn't even think that was the worst thing I did that day. He just didn't get around. So, Riker is for sure. But my point is, whenever you realize there's something wrong, you gotta address it. And I want to tell you this morning, if you look at these verses, you go, I don't think my soul has ever yearned for God once. I don't even know what the heck that is. I want to encourage you, talk to the Lord about that and go, why, and help me. Not a judgment thing, a problem you want to fix. Open the door, get your fingers out. It's real simple. Just recognize, oh my goodness, my fingers have been stuck in it. I had no idea. Open the door and start to deal with that. Ask the Lord, Lord, I was created to yearn for you. My spirit, my soul, deep things within me, deep crying out to deep kind of stuff. I was created to yearn for you. I don't know what that is. I don't know how that is. Help me. And the Lord will help you go on a journey. You were created for this. You were created to live fascinated. It's actually your design. You know, think about this. Think about the difference between when you see the most incredible sunset and when a dog sees the same sunset. Dog's like, bark, bug, barf. I mean, the dog just does whatever the dog does. The dog does not even see the sunset, right? Think about the Grand Canyon. It's just dirt and lack of dirt. I mean, why is that such a big deal by comparison to like the ants make a little, you know, little canyon or whatever down there? Because our hearts and souls were created to be fascinated. And when we see fascinating things, it grips us in a way that we don't even really have words. We're fascinated. And it's kind of fun to be fascinated. Like, it's a lot of fun. We love to be fascinated. That's not carnal. That was godly. In there. That's what God wrote that into the genetics of humanity. He wrote it in there for us to live fascinated. We see, we're just like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. That deep awe was God. He put that in there. Here's the thing. All the grandkids and the sunsets and the whatevers, they can't compare, and they're not even supposed to. They're supposed to just be an echo, a shadow, a whisper. The real fascination is when our heart connects with God. We were created to live there. You were put here on the planet actually to live very, very, very alive. For your insides and your soul, Jesus said it this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not as a command, as a gift. As a gift to you so you could live according to divine purpose. As a gift so that you could actually be you could be. Look at that verse in Psalm 17, verse 5. I just can't get away from this verse. This verse has just been in my mind and my heart and my prayer life, I don't know, for a decade now. I'm just so blown away. So that's why it keeps showing up in this series. But Psalm 17, verse 5, show me the wonders of your great love. Here's what he's praying. Fascinate the snot out of me. Fascinate me. Show me stuff, God. When I see the sunset, let me see your sunset. When I see the Grand Canyon, let me see what your hands have made. And way more than a couple of things in natural beauty, show me the wonders of your love. I mean, I'm not going to leave this prayer closet. I'm just going to close my eyes and ask you to show me the wonders of your love. And I'm not going to leave till you do. Show me the wonders. We were created to live fascinated. If we're spiritually bored, not on him. We were created. I'm telling you, espresso machine don't make hot dogs. We're supposed to be fascinated. We're invigorated people. This is what we were created for. And we're operating according to the divine intent. Oh, life is so sweet. Even when circumstances are so beat. When things are horrible. Things are just bad. And everybody's grumpy. If your heart is alive, you can soar. You can soar even in the midst of the wildest circumstances. I'm not putting this on us to put a shame. I'm trying to set a high bar for where we can go. I'm cast a vision for what is available to you, what's available to us. But if we can see this, we go, okay, I want to rise above whatever else is going on in my heart, in my soul, in my emotions, in my circumstances. I want to live in bigger. I want to live fascinated. I want to live impassioned. I want my heart, my soul, to yearn for the living God. I want for the primary definition of who I am, what I'm about, to be, I am a lover. And that when our heart is there, oh my gosh, so many things work right. So many things work right. You're created to have a burning heart. You guys know the verse, the walk of to Emmaus, Luke 24, 32. You guys know the story. Jesus erected. He's now master. He's veiled himself. He's walking with some of the disciples. They don't know it's him. They, with their eyeballs and their flesh, don't know it's him. But their spirit is like, oh. Their spirit, something knows it's God. And so it says this. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Now, we have a little bit of retrospective outlook here. We're now, however many years later, how many worship songs talking about a burning heart? This was an odd thing for these guys to say. They didn't have burning heart song language. These guys are walking down the road and they're like, something was burning. Were you burning? I was burning. What is burning? I don't know, but it's on fire right now in me. Yeah, me too. Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked to us and he opened the scriptures to us? There was something, even without them having any natural capacities to understand what was happening, their hearts were burning when Jesus spoke as they walked with him. Just those two pictures, him speaking and walking with him. Nearness, presence, proximity, the word of God, him speaking. Your hearts were created to burn. This passage, they didn't know what was happening and it was happening to them. They weren't even trying. It was happening to them. Their hearts were burning because they were created to have burning hearts. You're created to have a burning heart. God created you this way. Listen, I want to give you lots and lots of encouragement this morning. You're set. You've got everything you need. It's hardwired into you in his image. You were created to have a heart. So if you don't have a burning heart, some things you might need to reorder in your life, but it's not like you're defective. It's not like, oh no, I gotta, you know, get a burning heart from someplace else. It's already in there. You just gotta light the torch. You just gotta get that little pilot light going, kid. You were created for this. And it's fun. Can you just imagine these two after that? We don't know what else they said. But they kept talking. They didn't just say that one sentence, but okay, now let's live more. I mean, they kept talking. And they kept talking about how, oh, my heart's breaking up, me too. Oh, man, it's so great. It feels so good. It was him. They were created. You were created to have a burning heart. And when we do, we're good. These guys had the best walk of their life. And it wasn't because they found free money or free apples or a free ride. They found their hearts burning with Jesus in the most natural of circumstances, walking. Guys, have this burning heart. You were created for it. But it's not default. And that's our part. Our part is to position ourselves. We use that language. God is a bonfire. Think big wood. Big bonfire. Okay? Like the ones they used to let them do in Louisiana. They're not doing them right now. But anyway, the big bonfires. Imagine a really big one. Your heart has got an icy exterior. And then inside there is a burning heart that just needs to pilot light lit. But there's a block of ice around your heart. All you have to do, it's really easy. You just get that thing near enough to the fire and it'll melt and be gold. You know, just a minute. You just got to get it close to the fire. You got to position your heart. Position your cold, cold heart. Just come to the Lord and go, it's cold, cold today, Lord. It's double cold. Cold with an X bone, cold. Cold heart. Happening. The Lord loves this. He's in the business. He makes cold hearts alive. It's what he does. It's what salvation is. It's what relationship with him is. It's what returning to him is. It's what renewal, revival, restoring. It's what awakening is. A burning heart, passion. All of these things. It's all about God doing what he does really, really well. And that is invigorate hearts that were created to be invigorated when they'll just get close enough to the warmth. Just get close enough to the fire. There are things you can do in your life where you can position your cold heart before his bonfire. And as you start to have that melt, it starts to beat again. And you start to feel the warmth of God pulsate through you. You start to find your divine purpose again. It's so often, however, unrelated completely to your circumstances. We cannot find our identity. We cannot find a warmed heart through our circumstances, or our assignment, or our family, or our job, or pick anything. Nothing else works. There's only one bonfire, and it's God. Everything else, cold heart, stays cold. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. Even in whatever other pieces, even of the job, enjoyment of the sin experience, enjoyment of these pursuits, even in the enjoyment, the heart is aching because the heart is cold. You were created to live invigorate, alive. And that's how you were created. That's pretty much what God wants for you. And it's so what we want for ourselves. You've tasted before. You came to know the Lord, you were invigorated at least for 15 seconds. 15 days, maybe even 15 months. We need to return to that. We need to position our hearts before that bonfire. But it's not default, that invigorated life, it's not default. Luke 21:34. This is another one of the verses that just keeps showing up in my life, and the Lord just keeps drawing me back to you. Be careful, or your heart will down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Be careful, or your hearts are going to go bad places. If your heart's in a good spot, you wouldn't wind up in any of those things. That's why we got to be careful. But here's the thing. We are so by fault careless. We praise ourselves for spontaneity and predictability and experiencing all of the pleasures and the joys of life. I just want to tell you, the main and the plain has got a lot to give to us. I mean the routines of life, being careful. I'm going to love him today. I'm going to love him tomorrow. I'm going to love him Wednesday. We've got to get into a be careful life, because life deals us all these opportunities. And the opportunities can either be an on-ramp to praise him, or can be a total distraction. And it actually may not have anything to do with the opportunity. It might have everything to do with how we posture our heart. The opportunity might not be good or bad. The opportunity might be epic, good. And it can still be a total distraction for you if you're not careful. So the words of Jesus, be careful. You're not going to have an invigorated heart if you're not careful. Carelessly. You're not living intentionally. You're setting your time and your schedule. You're not setting your life and your thought process. You're not being careful. Well, then you're not going to have an invigorated heart, because it takes to get off course. It's the worst. I am so mad at how weak my flesh is. It's just, I can be running after Jesus, and one week I just get distracted. So I'm looking over here. Look at that thing. It's so awesome. And Jesus is like, Brad, like, no, hang on, Jesus. I'm looking at this thing over here. Look how cool that. Dang, that's cool. I love that thing. He's like, hello. That's what you were created to live invigorated, not to stare at the thing I made, the thing I gave, the thing I'm doing. What about me? If we're not careful, one week. One dumb week. Now, it's just as easy to come back. But you do have to stop looking at the thing and bring your attention back. We were created, actually, to be careful. We couldn't be told by Jesus, be careful, if we're unable to be careful. But also, being careful is the path to being invigorated. We must be careful. We've got to protect that thing. You got to protect the proximity. If it's 32 degrees outside, and you know your heart is going to go cold and freeze, if you get too far away from that bonfire, you better figure out how to stay close to that bonfire. And that's just the deal. That's how it is. This age is 32 degrees. You're stuck. And if you walk away from that bonfire for more than a minute, your heart starts to get cold. You got to be careful. It's just intentionality with your time and your energy and your thought life. It's really simple stuff. There's really not any magic to it. It's really simple. But you got to be careful again and again. And I'll be darned if you were careful for 5 years and then you were under six. Year six, you got a cold heart. But this keeps us needing him. It's actually brilliant leadership. On Jesus, because it keeps us near to him now. Relationship now. Not Not relationship back then, not before, an invigorated heart now. Oh, I want an invigorated heart. Oh, that just sounds good to live that way with your heart alive. Oh, he wants it for us. He wants it for us. But the first commandment, say it this way, it has to be first. It's got to be the priority. Matthew 22, 38. This is the first and the greatest commandment. It can't be second in your life. It sure can't be third or ninth. It's got to be the thing you're thinking about all the time. If you're not praying about the greatest commandment or the theme of loving God, that's because the greatest is God. So it's not like you have to say greatest commandment when you talk to them. Just talk to them about love. If you're not talking to God about love often, you can't possibly say that you are pursuing the greatest commandment. Because the greatest commandment is to love Him with all your heart, mind, and strength. So how in the world could our prayer life exclude God? Help me love you with all my heart, mind, and strength. How could we possibly be doing the greatest commandment if our prayer life doesn't include talking to Him about the greatest commandment? How could it possibly be that our life is pursuing all these things, but not being intentional to pursue the love of God in our life, in our hearts and minds? How can it possibly be that we're doing the greatest commandment if we're not doing the greatest commandment? It's really simple. I mean, I love how, like, dummy-proof God made this. It is really simple for even us dudes who barely met out. Like, it's simple. You know, all you gotta do is love Him, then love Him some more, then love Him again. Be careful to love Him again Tuesday. It's really, really simple, but there are so many pitfalls and distractions. The life, the path to living invigorated holiness. I just say it real simple. The path to an invigorated life is carefulness. Greatest commandment is a gift. We got to think of it that way. We got to see the way that the Lord has wired us, that this commandment, this command, you must love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is the single greatest gift He could have given us. And He gave to us, Jesus. You don't have the ability to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength if it were not for the fact of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and you giving your life to Him so that He's now empowering you to do the greatest commandment. So you can say it this way. The greatest gift God ever gave us was Jesus, but Jesus came and died and rose again so that we could do the greatest commandment. I mean, so it was actually He came unto. It wasn't, Jesus didn't just show up for no reason. He showed up so that you would be empowered to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was the greatest gift He could give us. It is not a burden. It is not a list of rules and do's and don'ts. It is the single greatest gift because, you know what it is? It's beans and an espresso machine. It's the way it's, this is, you cannot make that espresso without them beans. The greatest commandment is the gift that allows you to live invigorated. The greatest commandment is the way that God gives us for our to be made so. 1 John 5:3. I just want to encourage you. Whatever accusation in your heart, just remember who the accuser is. You're not actually smart enough to be the accuser. So even when you have accusations in your heart, you think it's you, it's the accuser. Okay, so if you ever hear accusational language, you can know where it came from. Say it. Okay, it's really simple. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. If you have any accusation in your heart that says, man, this greatest commandment thing is restrictive, living according to the greatest commandment is burdensome. Living this love the Lord your God with all your heart, it like really puts a damper on my fun. I want to tell you, you're listening to the liar, because it's not true. You were created to live in this way, invigorated. This is the path. And when we do this, our hearts are alive. And when we don't, we actually live a different life than the one God intended for us. We live outside of our divine purpose. We live something else. We live a different version of reality from the one that we were created to live. His commandments are not burdensome. And what's his greatest commandment? Love him. It's not burdensome. It's a gift. And we need to see it that way. The greatest commandment, the greatest gift to humanity, that we could live invigorated, because who wants to live spiritually bored? Oh, just think about this for a second. Really, like, think about it in your spirit. Don't think about it with your mind. Think about it with your spirit. You live 50, 60, 80 years in Jesus. I mean, you've known him. You've gone to church. You've said yes. You've repented, you know, here and there where you make some mistakes. But you go 80 years in Jesus, and you had everything. You had the big house, all the details in life taken care of. You have the incredible family. You have the great career. You had all this stuff, but you lived 80 years in Jesus, and you barely were invigorated for even a year total of those 80. Versus, you don't have any of them. You got nothing. And you only lived 20 years. And then you die, you get hit by something. But every one of those days that you were alive, your heart was invigorated in Jesus. And then you live forever, both of you. Both versions. Live forever. For real, who's better off? For real. The issue isn't about circumstances. It's not judgment about having or not having circumstances. The judgment is having or not having an invigorated heart. Don't literally bored. That's death. That's waste. It's not divine purpose. It's the gift of God that we live alive. Don't live incomplete and unfulfilled. Don't do it. Refuse to live incomplete and unfulfilled. Like, I won't do it. Care. Whatever else I have or don't have, I just will not live without a burning heart. Decide it. And what's so kind about God, when we make that our heart's cry, he'll give you what you ask for. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. It's kind of scary that he'll give us the desires of our heart. You want to be real careful what your heart desires. Because you wind up off track by something God gave you. And God gave it to you in the hopes that you turn to him. In the hopes that your cold heart would turn to the bonfire. So many times he gives us something and our heart turns to the something. Don't turn to the something. Turn to the one that gave you the something. Have that cold heart. Turn to him. Don't live incomplete and unfulfilled. Don't live outside of divine purpose. Jesus said it this way in John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, really key next phrase, really key, as the scripture said. Whoever believes in me the way Bill says believe in me. Whoever believes in me the way that the word of God actually prescribes, the way that it's actually written, not some other version. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That sounds alive. That sounds abounding. That sounds invigorated. These are the ways he's not a liar. I think part of the reason we're not operating with those rivers, we're not believing in him as the scriptures have said. We're believing in him in a different version. American Christianity version, maybe. We need to be living in him, believing in him with an invigorated heart. You could even say it this way. Jesus, as the scriptures have said, what do you mean by that? I just do the greatest thing that I said was greatest. That'll cover it all. Believe in me as the scriptures have said. Well, what do the scriptures say? Well, how about if I just give you one answer? What's the greatest thing the scriptures have said? Love the Lord your God with all your mind and strength. So if you believe in me with love your heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, rivers of living water will flow from within you. You will never live bored a day in your life. You will live spiritually awake. You will have those rivers flowing. Doesn't that just sound like the coolest picture? I mean, our hearts reach. I mean, as we hear it, our souls like go, oh. There's this aching. I want a river. I want rivers. River me. And it's, I think that the Lord, he wants us to feel that. He wants that aching. He wants it. Because we were created to have those rivers of living water flowing from within us. And when we have them, we live so satisfied. I got more, but we'll just get another message. We'll be here till.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.